בעל הסולם, קבלה for the student.
הקדמה לספר פנים מהירות ומסבירות בעמוד 145.
Moving on to Kabbalah for the student.
Page 454.
Introduction to the book Panim Meirot Umasbirot. Page 454.
Item 15. אתם רואים כמה אנשים יצאו מהעולם?
You see how many people left? We want to study. But the study here now is very special because we're learning about the soul of Adam HaRishon, something we've never done before. So, if anyone knows, thinks they know when to study, when to not, it's their loss. Please.
We're in Kabbalah for the student, page 454, introduction to the book Panim Meirot Umasbirot, item
15.
I will start with 14. With 17, sorry.
16? Okay, let's go to 16. So 16 is on page 455. We must know the nature of the two kinds of discernments customary for us. The first discernment is called discernment of good and bad. The second discernment is called discernment of true and false. This means that the Creator has imprinted a discerning force in each creature that executes everything that is good for it and brings it to its desired perfection. The first discernment is the active physical force. It operates using the sensation of bitter and sweet, which loathes and repels the bitter form, since it is bad for it, and loves and attracts the sweet, because it is good for it. This operating force is sufficient in the still, the vegetative, and the animate in reality to bring them to their desired perfection. Atop them is the human species, in which the Creator instilled a rational operating force. It operates in sorting the above second discernment, rejecting falsehood and emptiness with loathing to the point of nausea, and attracts true matters and every benefit with great love. The discernment is called discernment of true and false. It is implemented solely in the human species, each according to his own measure. Know that this second acting force was created and came to man because of the serpent. At creation, he had only the first active force, from the discernment of good and bad, which was sufficient for him at that time.
Like to any animal. Every animal, every beast has good and bad. It feels this is good for me, this is bad for me, and that's it. And also to those that are like beasts. This is good for me and this is bad for me. Rather, true and false, above good and bad, that's already something that develops in the human species, the human in the human.
ואסביר לך על דרך משל, אם היו הצדיקים נגמלים כמפועלם.
Let me explain it to you in an allegory. If the righteous were rewarded according to their good deeds, and the wicked punished according to their bad deeds in this world, Kedusha would be determined for us in the reality of sweet and good, and the Sitra Achra would be defined in the reality of bad and bitter. In that state, the commandment of choice would reach us, as it is written, Behold, I have set before thee the sweet and the bitter, therefore choose sweet. Thus all the people would be guaranteed to achieve perfection, for they would certainly run from the sin, as it is bad for them. They would be occupied in his mitzvot day in and day out, ceaselessly, like today's fools, regarding the bodily matters and its filth. Since it is good and sweet to them, so was the matter of Adam HaRishon when he created him. And put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Our sages interpreted, to dress it are the positive mitzvot, and to keep it are the negative mitzvot. His positive mitzvot were to eat and delight with all the trees of the garden, and his negative mitzvot were to not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The positive mitzvot were sweet and nice, and the negative mitzvot were retirement from the bitter fruit that is as hard as death. Not surprisingly, these cannot be called mitzvot and labor. We find the likes of that in our present chores, where through the pleasures of Shabbat and good days, we are rewarded with the sublime Kedusha. And we are also rewarded for retiring from the reptiles and insects and everything that one finds loathsome. You find that the choice in the work of Adam HaRishon was by way of therefore choose sweet. It follows that the physical palate alone was sufficient for all he needed to know that the Creator commanded and what he did not command.
Questions? Ask?
Rav, I didn't completely understand that he said here that the created being
said
that you should know that this acting force was created and came to a person due to the serpent because he had no acting force prior to that. Didn't completely understand that.
If not for the serpent, would have no thought about true and false, only about bitter and sweet. The snake is something very exalted, very special, that belongs only to the human degree. Spiritual human, of course. Adam. Anyone who does not have a serpent cannot be spiritual. It's an animal.
So Rav, the moment of pointing the heart awakens, then the process begins.
Yes. That's it.
So according to what you read until now, the Adam HaRishon, who acted from heaven, he acts only according to good and bad.
According to bitter and sweet.
Yes, but not yet truth and false.
That's why it says he's in Garden of Eden. He knows how to scrutinize everything, bitter and sweet. There are bitter things, let's say, he doesn't touch them. There are good things he lives off of them, like every animal. Look how monkeys jump from tree to tree. He's not going to take something that's not good for him. If we want to check if something is good or not, we give it to a dog. If it's good, if he eats it, I can eat it. So according to the Torah, that's how you should check your ingredients. Otherwise, he will not eat it. Whatever is good for him is good for me, because with respect to the animals, he's in his beast and I'm in my beast. It's the same. So, bitter and sweet, there's no mistake there.
And what is he considered Adam here?
There's no human, no Adam. It's Adam, human in Garden of Eden before the degree of human. It's an angel. Angel is a beast. The palate itself, the taste, that's what I understand. This is, no, I don't understand. I feel this is sweet. You can say, do you feel that it's... If you feel that it's good, no, you feel that it's sweet. Don't be confused. And this, I feel that it's bad for me. Meaning only bitter and sweet, no mind. Who else wanted to ask?
So it turns out that scrutiny is of true and false, as opposed to bitter and sweet. It's related to a person that when he needs to scrutinize truth and false. But the first person...
No, what are you confusing? In our world, there's no scrutiny of true and false. Can't you see how the whole world is running? Is it according to true and false? They don't understand true and false at all. Only bitter and sweet.
So scrutinies of true and false, they come after?
Only after the machson.
How does a system of bitter and sweet that he rejects what's good and draws what's bad, rejects what's bad? I'm talking about the system of bitter and sweet.
Why are you saying that the system of bitter and sweet is good and bad? It's according to bitter and sweet.
According to bitter and sweet, how can a system exist?
It exists. Look how animals exist.
How can it not be one on the account of the other? If each one acts according to...
It doesn't matter the expense of one another. I understand the behavior of each and every one. Each one does what's good in his eyes.
That I understand. I'm asking, how can they coexist? How can they exist in harmony, perfection?
You see that they exist. If a man wouldn't enter with his special force above nature into nature, nature would exist fine. Because nature is arranged in such a way that each one would eat the other, and by that would live. You see, this homeostasis, this balance would be kept. The whole thing here is that we enter and we ruin everything. But the ecology, everything, without man, everything would be kept just fine. Or man that would use nature only for the sake of ochel nefesh, like to sustain his existence.
The system of truth and false, is that always towards the next degree? And bitter and sweet is always towards...
We don't have a system of true and false.
The attitudes towards truth and false, is that always towards the next degree? And bitter and
correct.
Sweet, that's the current?
Correct. When we have degrees, that's how it will be.
So in the point of true and false, towards the next degree, is that always true and false? And towards the previous one?
Current.
So in that same point, they exist... Bitter and sweet in Garden of Eden, that was in the fruit on the trees and the vessels of bestowal. They enjoyed it like an animal.
He doesn't know if it's vessels of bestowal or not, because there's nothing to compare it to. There's no true and false. There's only bitter and sweet. That's it. So if it's sweet for him to give, he's giving. If it's bitter for him to receive, then he doesn't receive.
So what's the tree of knowledge?
I don't know. We didn't get to it yet. Chicago.
Just about that question, it says that removing the fruit, which is bitter and hard, that's the action of lotase. So what's so difficult?
It's not difficult. If it's bitter, it's not difficult. I move away. That's clear. That's how we should do it. And we do it. We just need to understand that it's still a mitzvah, a commandment. What does it mean? That it's a commandment from the Creator that did it in me, that I scrutinize things, if they are correct or incorrect, through my palate, through the smell and taste. That's it. Don't be confused about it. It's for us, we say, well, what do you mean, taste? No, it's a scrutiny. It's a scrutiny. And this is sweet. And this is bitter. And this is enough for me in order to aim me correctly in life. To life. That's the scrutiny. With animals, that's the only thing they have. Just understand. How a dog lives, and a cat, whatever you want. They all live only according to that. Constantly with the nose, they sniff around to see where is there something sweet, and they're not looking for true and false. Right? We believe me, right? They only look for the, they only search for the sweet. What is sweet? What's good for it? If someone likes savory stuff, for him, that's sweet. That's the meaning of that.
Can we reach a state that we have sweet and truth together?
I don't know. We didn't learn it. If you won't stop asking about what we're not learning yet, I won't let you ask at all.
Can.
Yes.
So what he's saying is that a person is more than an animal, that he can suffer now. Is that still included in bitter and sweet?
We'll learn about it next.
Item 17, page 456. Item 17. Now we can understand the serpent's craftiness, which our sages added and notified us that some clothed in it, because its words were very high. It started with, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of any tree of the garden," meaning it began to speak with her, since the woman was not commanded by the Creator. Hence, it asked her about the modes of scrutiny, meaning, how do you know that the tree of knowledge has been prohibited? Perhaps all the fruits of the garden were forbidden for you too. And the woman said, "Of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And there are two great precisions here. A, touching was never forbidden. Hence, why did she add to the prohibition? And B, did she doubt the words of the Creator? The Creator said, "Thou shalt surely die." And the woman said, "Lest ye die." Could it be that she did not believe the words of the Creator even prior to the sin? Yet, the woman answered it according to the serpent's question. She knew what the Creator had prohibited, that all the trees of the garden are sweet, nice, and good to eat. However, she was already close to touching that tree inside the garden and tasted it in it a taste that is as hard as death. She herself had proven that by to her own observation there is fear of death, even from mere touching. For this reason, she understood the prohibition further than she had heard from her husband, as there is none so wise as the experienced. Lest you die concerns the touching. And the answer must have been quite sufficient, for who would interfere and deny another's taste? However, the serpent contradicted her and said, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened." We must make the precision concerning the matter of opening of the eyes to this place. Indeed, it informed her of a new thing beyond her. It proved to them that it is folly to think that the Creator created something harmful and detrimental in his world. Thus, with respect to the Creator, it is certainly not a bad or harmful thing. Instead, that bitterness that you will taste in it, when even close to touching, is only on your part, since this eating is to notify you of the height of your merit. Thus, it is additional kedusha that you need during the act, so your sole aim will be to bring contentment to your Maker, to keep the aim from which you were created.
Meaning, yes, it will be sweet with the intention, and otherwise it will be bitter without intention. We need an additional scrutiny. That in truth, bitter and sweet, we need to add the scrutiny to the intention, yes or no. Next.
For that reason, it seems evil to you, so you will understand the additional kedusha required of you. For in that day, that thou eatest thereof, meaning if the act is in kedusha and purity as clear as day, then ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. This means that as it is certainly sweet to the Creator and completely equal, so the good and bad will be to you in complete equivalence, sweet and gentle. It is still possible to doubt the credibility of the serpent, since the Creator did not tell it that himself. Therefore, the serpent first said, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened." This means that it's not necessary for the Creator to notify you of that, since he knows that if you pay attention to that, to eat on the side of Kedusha, your eyes shall be opened by themselves to understand the measure of his greatness. You will feel wondrous sweetness and gentleness in him. Hence, he does not need to let you know. As for that, he installed in you the scrutinizing force that you may know what is to your benefit by yourselves. It is written right after that, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes," this means that she did not rely on his words, but went and examined with her. Went and examined with her own mind and understanding, and sanctified herself with additional kedusha to bring contentment to the Creator in order to complete the aim desired for her, and not at all for herself. At that time her eyes were opened, as the serpent had said, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food. In other words, by seeing that it was a delight to the eyes, before she even touched it, she felt great sweetness and lust, when her eyes saw by themselves that she had not seen such a desirable thing in all the trees of the garden. She also learned that the tree is good for knowledge, meaning that there is far more to crave and covet in this tree than in all the trees of the garden. This refers to knowing that they were created for this act of eating, and that this is the whole purpose, as the serpent had told her. After all these certain observations, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the text accurately writes, with her, meaning with the pure intention to only bestow and not for her own need. This is the meaning of the words, and she gave also unto her husband with her in Kedusha, in sanctity.
For the time being, I don't know what we've accomplished, but ask.
Rav, is the state of the serpent a state I should use? And if so, how do I use it in the spiritual work in order to advance?
In our spiritual work, we have to walk in a very simple way. We're seemingly ride above this, over this system. And when we need something from it, these discernments awaken in us. That's why both the snake, the parts of the snake, of the serpent, the woman, the part of the woman, the parts of the man, all these parts, all these elements, the trees of the garden, all of those discernments awaken in us.
I need to search them.
You have to look for nothing except for the friends and the Creator that would help me incorporate with them and with Him together. Israel, the light, the Creator. And inside, you'll discover all the discernments. The way they did, how do they know? They did the work in connection, and from that, they've attained the upper force, and from that, they wrote about all these clarifications, the serpent, the garden, trees of the garden, etc. Moshe, they said you had a question, and you ran away. No? That's it? But annulment, yeah, that's always a good topic, ask.
He spoke about a device, right?
Stent. Yeah. The stent.
Yeah, we built a system, at least externally, that every person can do a lot of exercises to annul. You just open your eyes, you come here, they tell you where to sit, who to sit with, there's a list of things. It's not simple, but okay. It's how it is outside is too. You also know. So I understand there's also some benefit from this.
Likely.
So here I want to ask how to build a device for inner annulment. What are the exercises?
First of all, this device that we built for the external order also corresponds to the inner annulment. The order has to be. Everyone has to know what we need, what we don't, in what place. The place has to be arranged. That's one thing. The other thing is that there's additional order in addition to this external thing that you're not coming here to learn like in the university. Rather, there has to be here also an inner arrangement, an inner order. The inner order has to be such that there's like an expert that comes to calibrate a musical instrument. He comes and he constantly checks the strings, and he turns it a little bit and tightens it and more until all the strings are in the right connection, each and every one, so on. That is his work. That's what we need to do. we need to have the ability first to have a reference point, a standard scale. Why, what is this, you know, do, re, mi, and so on, that's something that we can measure ourselves against, and how each and every one, and how all of them together, how we can aim ourselves. Our problem is that each of us is a string, and each of us needs to check himself, how much he's in connection with the others, in harmony with the others, in the correct connection with the others. That's our work. The moment we are concerned, each one, to be in his place in order to attach himself to others in the correct way, we'll begin to hear the music, the melody the Creator is playing, like the David's violin. I'm telling you what's happening then. They talk about it, seemingly. That's how it is.
So here I'm asking about the exercise to see a friend is great, because this can be done only if you are null, so then you can see a friend is great.
I don't see him as great or small. For the time being, I don't see them as great or small. I see them, these are the people that if I connect with them, inside of them, in the connection between us, I discover the Creator. And that's the main thing for me. So, reluctantly, I have to find the correct connection between us. Like those strings that have to be according to this gamma, according to this order, their order.
So on the inner work level, wherever there's just a desire, it's just surrounding light, there's nothing else to do, you know, we can exert, but what?
But it will not come unless you exert. Of course you can't do anything by yourself, but to invite him. The expert that will then arrange your strings, calibrate your strings, you need him. But how do you check that you need him? You try to be in this way and that way with them, as if you are the expert, and you see that you can't reach connection. So you come to, you turn to him, and the people of Israel side from the work.
To draw the reforming light, it's like you eat every day. You try every day to see the goal is great, the friends is great, to make efforts.
Not several times a day, but all the time.
All the time. So that's inner work.
Yes.
So if I understand correctly, regarding external annulment, which is not easy.
What external annulment?
I don't know, external, you know, the framework.
But inside.
Yeah, inside. But here we don't need the Creator's help. More or less, a person can, with the society, with the importance he got from the society, then he can keep that.
Of course. I don't feel like going to the, how do you call it? To duty. Right? But I must. The society pressure is pressuring me, it obligates me, and so on. That's already the external framework.
And you can't have excuses here that a person can't do it.
No, this is like the army here. You don't want? Leave. Those things are written in your... They're written somewhere, right? If you say, I don't want to be on duty... You don't need to? Whoa. If I come here and I say, guys, I went through campus and everything, I also come here several months, I want to be here, part of this society. So what do they tell me? There's some obligation, some commitment. Amongst the obligations, there's coming to duty, right? What if I say I don't want to? What do you mean, no need? Don't need to come, or we don't need you?
It won't be,
no one
will
obligate me?
For us, it's a privilege to be on duty, so...
Oh, I forgot where I am. Oh, I'm so...
You need to ask to be on duty.
And those who say they don't want to, the rest have to work, what, several times harder. And they accept it as a privilege. Wow. I didn't know I have such a... Righteous people. That's it, I have nothing to add. Oh, you shut my mouth.
No. Tov. As lo, aval be'emet,
In truth. You put spirituality in corporeality. It's not. It's correct, I'm not saying, but in truth, this, the duty that keeps the society has to be equal for everyone. Like all the corporeal things, anyone who is in the society must participate in, you know, in the burden of the society, in the upkeep of the building, payments, duties, all that. We don't want to receive any support from the outside, but from all our friends, yes. I don't know. I don't think this. But with Rabash, it was mandatory. That's how it was. Okay, so that's it. What do you want to ask? Or everything is clear? Clear. Okay. Then what is not clear about Adam Rishon?
Chicago.
We have a question about the serpent. It's like his PR isn't really good. Without him, we're all animals.
Of course, without a snake, we're all animals. That's the correct discernment. Correct, so.
So why is he the evil serpent? He speaks truth. He tells us exactly the truth, what will happen if we eat.
Because that's the evil inclination. We call it evil. It brings us death.
Death to what? To the animal?
No, to the will to receive. Why are you quiet?
No, because without him we remain as animals. We sit there with bitter and sweet and
right.
No overcoming.
Right, I agree with you. You know the snake like that, right? And the symbol of medicine, right? That all of it comes from, all of medicine comes from the venom of the snake. All the medicine. They're all poison, toxic, venomous, poisonous. But those are medications. Why? Because our body requires poison to be healthy. What will you say?
That we want to die.
So we have to change our attitude to the snake, to the serpent. Change our attitude. The snake and its poison, everything it did to Chava, it's all in order to advance them to become human. Otherwise they would remain animals. They would never be able to come close to the Creator. So no questions on that.
The opening of the article says that it's the cunningness of the serpent. Why is it? Is it cunningness?
Cunning. It's, you know what it is. It's a lie. Otherwise, it would not be able to advance to bring men from the animate degree to the human degree. Nobody wants it. I live in Garden of Eden, sir. Imagine if our lives would be all, oh, this is sweet. This is bitter. That's it. Oh, so pretty. Everything is clear. There are no questions. There are no confusion. That's it. We live like animals. What is the problem? What did we gain from, you know, being humans on Earth, on the face of the planet? Nothing but trouble. The snake knows how to take us out of the bitter and sweet from Garden of Eden. That without being pulled out of this Garden of Eden of the animals, we cannot become human. That's why its work is holy work.
Yes.
I understand. How can we market something that has no there's no deficiency for?
Learn.
Yeah, we should learn. He sold this to Eve, and she didn't have a desire for it.
Well, there is a will to receive. There's a will to receive. With Adam, there's nothing to talk to. There's no one to talk to. But we'll learn about it. But the good work, he was a true messenger, a correct one. Knows how to speak. Should you die, you might die, or touch, eat. You will see how. What are all those things? It's not just a story.
No, Bayer.
Why is the tree of knowledge different than the other trees and fruit in the garden?
How is it called?
The tree of the fruit of the of tree of knowledge.
Knowledge.
What does it mean?
Mind, new scrutiny. Above, beyond the bitter and sweet. That's the problem. If I grab not an apple, you know, it's a symbol of the apple. If I grab a pear, it's nice, it's good. Give me something else. I'm jumping from tree to tree, right? I eat everything. I grab the tree with my tail, and I swing around. Everything is nice and good. That knowledge, that's what I add, and it ruins everything. He who adds knowledge adds pain. That's the tree.
What's knowledge with respect to good and evil?
Additional scrutiny. Truth and false.
What is it?
Now, it's possible that I'm drinking something tasty, and suddenly I see that it says poison on it. So is it good for me or bad for me? It's sweet. And it's poisonous. So I don't know what to do. How will I live?
It's a system that its new scrutiny is what? It's another.
It ruins my entire life. It's good if I can forget about it. What we do in life, we erase this second scrutiny. We're going according to sweet. According to sweet, that's it, done. In our lives, that's why it's written, everyone are as animals. We're only in the scrutiny of where is it sweeter? You understand? True and false. It's very difficult. Nobody wants it. You see, give me some cake and I have diabetes. I'm going to walk around. Right? This is how we live.
The snake is also a representative of the Creator. He's doing the work of the Creator. He's not doing something of himself.
It's a special software that is revealed inside of reality, in addition to bitter and sweet, called true and false. It's revealed over time as we came down from the trees, came out of the caves, and we kept growing and growing, and then this process of the revelation of true and false was underway. And from that moment onward, we can be called human. When did it happen? About 6,000 years ago, in the days of Adam Rishon.
Another question. The serpent ate from the tree of knowledge. He knew that it was good fruit. You understand what I'm asking? How did the snake... I understand, I'm talking about the system, that's what I mean, I'm just trying to understand this piece in the system. This piece in the system called the serpent. Does it recognize what is in the tree of knowledge of good and evil?
It's a system. How can you ask about it? Does he know or doesn't know? Does electricity know where it flows or not? It knows. It flows where it's more comfortable for it to flow, more convenient. It chooses where it's more convenient. This is this kind of resistance, and here it's this kind. Let's say this is 50 ohm of resistance, and here is 1 ohm of resistance. I'm going, where is this 1 ohm?
So the serpent is himself is an angel as well? That's what you're saying?
It's a force, of course. What, do you think it's a...
No, because it seems that the snake knows something that the rest of the system doesn't know. It seems like, yeah, something...
That's something else. The serpent is a higher system. That's true.
What, it's an angel from a higher...
A higher kind, yeah.
And what is he higher?
Is closer to the Creator.
That's what I'm trying to understand.
Sure, it's closer. Between true and false, instead of bitter and sweet. Bitter and sweet is a beast. There's nothing there. You can do, play with everything like that. That's the difference. Building various systems. It's like a human. It's going to be, this robot is going to be like a human. Nothing is going to come out like a human, because that system of true or false would not exist in them. But bitter and sweet, yes. The people that are walking in the street, it will be similar to them, yes, because they scrutinize nothing except for bitter and sweet. It will be similar to them. But to a man who scrutinizes bitter, true and false, nothing, no one. You can't introduce it into the matter. Our matter is about feeling true, bitter and sweet.
Maybe an unrelated question. Is there another system above the snake? Something that's higher, closer?
Above the serpent, yes. There is a system that connects bitter and sweet and true and false. And it's called Adam, which is similar to the Creator, Dome. System that combines everything together, yeah? Yeah, of all sides, we're brought to understanding. Chicago, last time.
Just to conclude this item. So, in the system now, the prohibition is that you cannot rise above bitter and sweet, only if the serpent is there in order to open the degree that's above it.
We're not talking about that. Later. We have additional time, or we need to talk about other things? We have more time? Yeah. Down to half past the hour. Okay, so...
Item 18, page 458. Now we come to the heart of the matter, and the mistake that concerned his leg. This tree of knowledge of good and evil was mixed with the vacant space, meaning with the gadlut form of reception upon which the tzimtzum was implemented and from which the Or Elyon departed. It has also been explained that Adam HaRishon did not have any of the gadlut form of reception in his structure, which extends from the vacant space. Instead, he extended solely from the system of Gdusha, concerned only with bestowal. It is written in the Zohar that Adam HaRishon had nothing of this world. For this reason, the tree of knowledge was forbidden to him, as his roots and the whole system of Kedusha separated from the Sitra Achra due to the disparity of form, which is the separation. Thus, he too was commanded and warned about connecting to it, as thus he would be separated from his holy root and die like the Sitra Achra and the Klipot, which die due to their oppositeness and separation from the Kedusha and the life of lives. However, Satan, which is some, the angel of death that was clothed in the serpent, came down and enticed Eve with deceit in its mouth. Ye shall not surely die. It is known that any lie does not stand if there is not preceded by words of truth. Hence, it started with a true word and revealed the purpose of creation to her, which came only to correct that tree, meaning to invert the great vessels of reception to the side of bestowal. It said to her that God had eaten from this tree and created the world, meaning looked at the matter in the form of the end of an act is in the preliminary thought. And for this reason, he had created the world. And as we've seen above, the whole matter of the first restriction was only for man, destined to equalize the form of reception to bestowal. This was the truth, which is why it succeeded, and the woman believed it when she prepared herself to receive and enjoy solely in order to bestow. You find that, at any rate, evil vanished from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of knowledge of good remained. This is because the evil there is only the disparity of form of reception for a self which was imprinted in him. Yet, with reception in order to bestow, he is brought to his complete perfection, and thus you find that she has made the great unification as it should be at the end of the act. However, that sublime Kedusha was still untimely. She was only fit to endure it in the first eating, but not in the second eating. I will explain to you that one who abstains oneself from pleasure before one has tasted and grown accustomed is not like one who abstains from pleasure after having tasted and become connected to it. This first can certainly abstain once and for all, but the other must exert to retire from one's craving bit by bit until the matter is completed. So it is here. Since the woman had not yet tasted from the tree of knowledge and was completely in bestowal, for this reason it was easy for her to perform the first eating in order to bestow contentment upon the Creator in absolute Kedusha. However, after she had tasted it, a great desire and coveting for the tree of knowledge was made in her, until she could not retire from her craving, since Why? Matters had gone out of her control.
Why? Everyone talk about it. In your tents. Why? The first eating is relatively easy and it's pure, and the second eating he's reluctant to overcome it. He can't overcome it. What is the addition here that we have in the Tree of Knowledge?
In the concealment we don't see the true vessels, and then after tasting it, then it already awakens.
From the side of the development of the desire, the entrance and departure of the light makes the vessel qualified for its role, meaning it discerned the intensity of the desire only after eating once. But because we're talking about eating in sanctity, there's a revelation of the light of Chokhmah, of eating in order to receive. Eating in order to bestow, which is to receive in order to bestow. But and there's no screen. So now you're falling to the klipa.
The first time there was concealment, in other words, it happened according to the system. The second time, it happened from choice. This choice wasn't the correct form of scrutiny. There wasn't a masach on that. It was incorrect to do it that way. Meaning from above down it's a certain form and from below up it's a different form. In short, it wasn't the right way that it should be done. The first time there is no such calculation.
Yeah, well, initially when eating, after he had discernment, he understood what he wants. Of course, the desire is limited, is increased. The first time is reluctant pleasure against her will. They didn't know, they didn't eat, they didn't expect it. First time is reluctantly. Why the opposite? Did not know he was going to receive pleasure from it. The second time, already he was addicted to it. He couldn't detach from it. I don't know, I'm not grasping this whole business of the snake. What is he eating and why is he eating? I guess this is the process of development. You have to eat the first time and the second time. Still, this action is to give contentment to the Creator. So it's strange how the first time it's easy to do it and the second time it's the other way around.
Maybe this
law of the entrance and departure of the light qualifies the vessel for its role. The first time, there's no attitude towards the eating. The second time, everything is measured towards that taste. He's reluctant against his will. He's addicted to the pleasure. According to what's described here, everything happens in sanctity and in order to bestow. But I guess that's what we're having here is the revelation of the stony heart. That man, Adam, doesn't realize it exists until he's using the desire. And then the stony heart appears and it brings about the shattering. That's a surprise that was prepared. The bottom of the kli, over which there can't be a screen, masach. For me, it's a matter that from above down, the gap between the parts of the vessels becomes more and more apparent. The distance from the quality of bestowal becomes more apparent. That's why the second time it's more difficult, because we're coming down. For us, it's the opposite. First, we have to connect, and then it's as if an easier form of the matter. From above, there's nothing to it. The light generates it. It imprints in it the discernment and the need for something new that wasn't there before.
Yeah, we spoke about this process as a transition from discernments of sweet and bitter to true and false. So the first taste, there was no awareness that that's what's going to happen. And the second one, you couldn't get out of it anymore. It was
first time, maybe he's eating reluctantly. They obligate him from above. But the second time, he already wants it for himself. And that's where he eats.
Didn't understand the question.
The question is why in the first time he eats in purity, and the second time he cannot resist eating it. He eats against his will. Okay, let's continue and finish this Continue. Where are you?
Page 459, third last paragraph from the bottom.
This is why our sages said that she ate prematurely, meaning before it was ripe, before they acquired strength and power to rule over their desire. For this reason, it was easy for her to perform the first eating in order to bestow contentment upon the Creator in absolute kedusha. However, after she had tasted it, a great desire and coveting for the tree of knowledge was made in her until she could not retire from her craving, since matters had gone out of her control. This is why our sages said that she ate prematurely, meaning before it was ripe, before they acquired strength and power to rule over the desire. It is similar to what the sages said in Masechet Yevamot, I have eaten and I shall eat more. As our sages said, I have eaten and I shall eat more. This means that even he had explicitly heard that the Creator was in wrath with him, he still could not retire from it, since the last had already been connected to him. You find that the first eating was on the side of the Kedusha, and the second eating was in great filth. Now we can understand the severity of the punishment of the tree of knowledge, for which all people are put to death. This death extends from eating it, as the Creator had warned him. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the thing is that the gadlut form of reception extends into his limbs from the vacant space and from the restriction onward. It is no longer possible for the upper light to be under the same roof with it. Hence, that eternal breath of life expressed in the verse, and it breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, had to leave there and depend on a slice of bread for its transient sustenance. This life is not an eternal life as before, when it was for himself. It is rather similar to a sweat of life, a life that has been divided into tiny drops, where each drop is a fragment of his previous life. And this is the meaning of the sparks of souls that were spread throughout his progeny. Thus, in all his progeny, all the people in the world, in all the generations, through the last generation, which concludes the purpose of creation, are one long chain. It follows that the acts of the Creator did not change at all by the sin of the tree of knowledge. Rather, this light of life that came at once in Adam HaRishon extended and stretched into a long chain revolving on the wheel of transformation of form until the end of correction. There is no cessation for a moment, since the actions of the Creator must be alive and enduring, and sanctity is raised and not lowered. And as is the case of men, so is the case with all the creatures of the world, because they all descended from an eternal and general form on the wheel of transformation of form, as did men, since both man and the world have an inner value and an outer value. The external always ascends and descends according to the internal. And this is the meaning of, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. That instead of the previous breath of life that the Creator had breathed into his nostrils, there is now a sweat of life in his nostrils. Any questions? What? Hello, Rav. Baal HaSulam writes to us that any form of lie that is not preceded by truth cannot hold. Can you explain it? Rav, how can I explain it? You need to draw something, attract it, and after you attract the person, you can work on him. Don't you see it? In all the advertising and everything? That's how we're using it. It stems from the source of creation, the origin of creation. Can we assume that every false thing that we perceive by truth holds? Rav, it's not a mandatory, it depends on who does it and in what way, but it's probable. There, in the end. What's the difference between the breath of life and the sweat of life? Sweat of life is, how can I say it? Something that is something very small. As if it doesn't exist, or exist as a very small, faint projection, copy. I don't want to say a thin candle, because it's not. A thin candle is a different concept. Next. We need to read it more from top to bottom. We're going to read everything and then we're going to come back and try to bring that thing a little closer to us. He writes that the first eating was on the side of sanctity and the second eating was in great filth. Why didn't it awaken right after the revelation of shame? Restriction, shame, and then why is the second eating, the filth, didn't appear after that state? Rav, there was no one to feel it. No one felt it. Also, only the woman. What about the man? I can ask you about Adam. It's also his first time eating. What's his problem eating? To taste it and fill himself with pleasures. And only the second time is a problem? We need to check this. This is a whole story. I understand, but the vessel performed the restriction. Rav, what restriction? First restriction. Rav, how do you know what that one belongs to the other? No, in principle, I don't understand. That state, Rav, the vessel performed the first restriction because it felt shame. Kedusha, sanctity. Rav, shame. After the shame, you have coupling of striking. Rav, after the shame, you have restriction and screen and decision about reflected light, and then coupling of striking. Why from that state the state of filth cannot awaken? Rav, I don't understand you, truly. I don't even understand the question. Where are you getting it from? The logic. Eyal, the vessel that is in purity, in sanctity, how can the beast awaken in it? Along the whole process of the system, that state did not wake up. Rav, because the development of the system is under the first restriction. If it's under the first restriction, where he doesn't receive for himself, but he wants everything to bestow as much as possible, down to the last ounce, the bottom of the ladder. It's all in bestowal. Eyal, but the system of Adam HaRishon is also under the first restriction. Yes. Yeah. So why here the filth awakened in the second eating? The filth, why it woke up here? Rav, you don't know what we're talking about. I'm sorry. From the moment you now heard something, you're starting to raise questions and you think that there's room for them. Okay. That's why it says from beginning to end. A different kind of attitude will only confuse you. You don't know how to learn. When I take something, I don't ask questions of my own. I just try to understand the text, the idea behind it from beginning to end. I might even read it several times until I understand what he's writing, how he's writing. Whether I agree with it or not, understand or not, it doesn't matter. I disconnect myself. I'm like a photocopy machine. I need to go through it. Once I go through it several times, I might begin to connect the beginning and the end and the middle, and I begin to scrutinize. Here, you know, well, you don't even know what's the connection between here and the work in the first restriction. Okay, we'll learn about it. No, I don't want any questions about it. What? About 6 years ago, we started to read it. And then after two paragraphs, you said, let's go read Shamati, the discernment of bitter and sweet, and true and false. Yeah, Rav, yeah, you can't